Today, we want to continue on in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we're moving on to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." This statement reminds me of a principle which I learned first way back when I got my first computer, back in the dinosaur age. And there was a statement that went around at that time for those who did programming, and it was said, "Garbage in, garbage out." I don't know, some of you might remember that. Garbage in, garbage out, which meant if you programmed in data and codes that weren't of any use, were incorrect, or didn't make sense, then you were for sure to get data and information out that didn't make sense, that was just garbage. So if we program garbage into the computer, we get garbage out. Now, I know some of you are saying, you know, I do what's right into the computer and I still get garbage out. You have to take that up with Microsoft or Apple, but I can't help that. But this principle really is, whatever you put into something will affect what we get out of it. For instance, if I don't study for an exam and I don't prepare for an exam, what do you think I'm going to get out when I get to the exam? Probably a poor grade and probably not do well. But if I hang around with people who are rude and angry and impatient all the time, what do you think my attitude's going to be like? Probably rude, probably angry, probably impatient. You probably won't want to be around me. If I continually watch TV shows of people who show disrespect to other people, there's not much chance that I'm going to show respect. Jesus says, if we are merciful, we will be shown mercy. If we hang around Jesus and allow his mercy into our hearts, then his mercy will flow out of us. If mercy comes in, mercy will go out. So what is this mercy which Jesus is talking about? I think Jesus illustrated it best in the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we read about in Luke chapter 10 from verses 25 to verse 37, and we're not going to read it all today. Most of us know the story. It's a man, he's on a journey, he's traveling down a road, and he gets attacked by some robbers. They don't just attack him, they beat him, and they rob him, and they leave him for dead. And a while later, another man comes down the road, and he sees this man on the side of the road, and he sees him suffering and in pain, but he walks around the other side and goes on his journey. And some time later after that, another man comes down the same road and sees the man lying beside the road, and he sees probably blood, and the man's maybe unconscious or just lying there, or maybe he's crying out for help even. And this man too doesn't do anything, and he walks out on the other side of the road and continues on. Jesus says there's a third man, though, that walks down the road. The man's a Samaritan. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus says, "But the Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him." But Jesus doesn't say the Samaritan stopped there. Jesus doesn't say the man just took pity on him or had compassion for the man. But Jesus continues on to say in verse 34, he says, "He went to him," the Samaritan went to him, "and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn and took care of him. At the end of the parable, Jesus asked the people who were listening, and he says to them, he says, of these three men that walked by Jesus, these three men that saw the man on the side of the road, which one is his neighbor? And in Luke chapter 10, verse 37, we read, the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. See, we see Jesus here revealing in through this parable what mercy is. He shows us that mercy actually has two parts. The first part that Jesus reveals is that the Samaritan, as he comes along, has a tenderness in his heart towards the man who's lying in the ditch or on the side of the road. The man who's been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. He has a tenderness of heart. His heart's broken. He's just like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. This shouldn't be. You know, it's interesting that some versions translate it compassion, which is a good word to use as well. And the Greek word here, it means to be deeply moved. So the Samaritan, when he saw the man lying on the side of the road, he's deeply moved. The other two guys, well, that's too bad, you know, and went on their way. But the Samaritan is deeply moved and his heart is moved. And that's the first part of mercy. The second part of mercy that Jesus shares in this parable is that the Samaritan, as he was deeply moved, to action. He did something about it. He cared about this man. Maybe the other two guys were moved by what they saw. Maybe they were, their stomachs were turned because the man didn't look very good. But they weren't moved enough to move to action. Jesus says if we're going to be merciful, we need to be deeply moved. But deeply moved to action. To do something. This man got off his donkey, bandaged the man's wounds, poured oil and wine on him, on the wounds, to take care of them, put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn and cared for him. In fact, if you read on, you find that the Samaritan leaves the inn, leaves the man at the inn and says, you know what? I'll pay for anything that the man needs. Just make sure he's okay. You know, it's similar to those who have compassion or pity because they watch something on TV, maybe they watch a natural disaster like Hurricane Katrina and they're moved by it. So they're moved and what do? They can't go there. So they gather a bunch of supplies and ship it there to help those people. They're merciful. They're trying to do something. There are others that are so moved by compassion that they get on a plane and they go there and they help on the ground there. And there are others who just send money or others who just pray because they can't do anything else. But they're moved in their hearts to do something, not just to shut it out. So why is Jesus sharing about mercy? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it's because God's character is mercy. Mercy flows from God just naturally. It just pours out. It's part of God's character. As Moses was with God on Mount Sinai, we read God proclaiming that he is a merciful God to Moses. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast love, and faithfulness.'" God is a merciful God. But you know, that's not just something we read about in the Old Testament. It's not just the God of the Old Testament, but it's the God of the New Testament too. Jesus is a merciful God. Because we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it states, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy," rich in mercy. God doesn't just have a little bit of mercy. Here, I've got a little bit of mercy for you. In fact, he doesn't just have enough mercy for you, or just an adequate amount of mercy. God overflows with mercy. He's rich in mercy. He abounds in mercy. His character is permeated with mercy. You know, if you met Bill Gates and you said to him, "You know, I could just use a little bit of money." Bill Gates is rich. He has billions of dollars. He's rich. He has money that overflows. He has more than enough to meet the needs of each one of us here. God has more than enough mercy to meet the needs of each one of us here. He's rich in mercy. David realized that God's mercy is not just for a moment in time. God's mercy isn't just for right now, right here. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 23 in the first part of verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." David knew that God's mercy was so great, so extensive, so expansive, that it would follow him all the days of his life. And listen to what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning." Wow. God, who is rich in mercy, though he starts his day, if he starts his day, if we look at it like that, he starts his day with mercy. And they never cease. They just flow on and on and on. He has mercy for each one of us, as long as our days shall be. These are only a few, very few verses which reveal our God is filled with mercy. And we are told we are made in God's image, so that means that we should have mercy. But the fact is, it is more than we should be people of mercy. The reality is, we are called by God to be people of mercy. It's part of our calling as God's children to be merciful people. Listen to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you? What has God called us to do? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear there that we've been called to love mercy. And if we love it, we'll show it. It's not, well, if I have to, I will show mercy. Or, oh, I guess I can show a little mercy from time to time. No, as we're made in God's image, we are called to love, to have an abundance, to overflow with mercy, to start our day with mercy and not cease showing mercy to others throughout our day. As we follow our Savior and Lord, who has shown us ultimate mercy as a sinner, we are called to show mercy to those around us. Showing mercy to others is not an option for us. We are called to show mercy. Think of the difference a teacher who is merciful can make in a school. A teacher who is tender, whose heart is tender, and who cares and acts for the good of the students and other staff. Think of the difference that they might make. Think of the difference in a business, in a church, or in a family, or in our neighborhoods. When a person has a tender heart towards others and is willing to act for the good of others, think of the difference that we might make. Let's take a moment and see where we might be able to show mercy. We can show mercy to those who have not come to the full reality of making Jesus their Savior and Lord. The book of Jude, in the book of Jude, we are exhorted to be merciful to those who doubt. Our hearts should be broken as we see them struggling to find their way. They have doubts. But we are to act with kindness towards them, not humiliating them because they don't understand or are still questioning where they are on their journey of faith. We're all in a different place on our journey. None of us have arrived. We need to show mercy to them by respecting them where they are on their journey. We need just to acknowledge them, to love them. Being merciful here is loving and accepting them where they are on their journey and encouraging them with the truth. We need to be merciful to those who haven't come to the full faith yet. But what about those who are totally opposed to us? What about those who would say, you know what? You guys are crazy. You guys are lunatics. You guys are nuts. You believe in a God that you can't see? Really? Surely we don't have to show them mercy. Well, listen to what Jesus had to say. He was talking to some folks, and he was talking about loving your enemies in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 to 36. He said these words, "But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Oh, that's hard, God. Jesus, how are we supposed to do that? We're supposed to be merciful to those who aren't merciful to us? Be merciful. It is not repaying evil for evil. That's what my tendency is. Oh, I'm going to get back at them. But that's not what the Word says. Jesus wants us to be merciful to them, to turn the other cheek. It is having a broken heart for the condition that they are in and continuing to love them. It's knowing that they're just acting out of what they know. And we just need to keep loving them and revealing the truth to them. Like I said the other day, it's not pounding them over the head with the Bible. Have you ever noticed that sometimes those who it seems to be the hardest to show mercy to are those in our own family, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our parents? I don't know what that's all about, but for some reason, we seem to think that they need to learn their lessons in the hard school of knocks. You know, like, they have it coming to them. They can just do it on their own. Yet we're told to carry one another's burdens. You know, as I was writing this, I was thinking about my own brother and sister. And we have a fairly good relationship, but not the greatest. And I think how our relationship might have been a lot different if maybe I was a little more merciful to them, a little more understanding of where they're at and the situations they found themselves in throughout the years. But, you know, it's not just our biological family which needs to see mercy extended to them, but also our spiritual family. We need to show them mercy when they are going through tough times, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. The truth is, we've all experienced tough times. I would venture to say that there's not one here that hasn't experienced a tough time. And how much has our load been lightened when God has shown us mercy, or someone in the family, one of our spiritual brothers or sisters, has come alongside us and shown us mercy. How the burden has been carried by someone else and lightened. These are just a few ways we can fill our calling from God to be merciful. God has placed that calling on each one of us. You know, I was shown mercy this past week by a neighbor. Kathy got in the car, the truck. I was already at work here. It was about 20 to 8, I think. And Kathy got in the truck, and it wouldn't start. She phoned me and said, "The truck won't start." I said, "Does it turn over?" She says, "No. Just goes click, click." I went, oh, okay, I'll come and get you, because she had to be at the Equality Project to, she was working at the Equality Project on Monday. So when I got home from work later on that afternoon, late in the afternoon, I went over to my neighbors and asked them if I could borrow some jumper cables, because somewhere between Nanaimo and here, I can't find mine. For 2 years, I haven't needed them, so it's been good. But anyhow, I couldn't find mine, and so I went over and asked my neighbor if I could borrow his jumper cables. Well, he came out and got the jumper cables out of his vehicle and brought them over, and he was there and he helped me, and even with the jumper cables on, it just went click, click. Sounds like the starter's not working very good. I took a hammer and banged the starter. He went back in his house, and I took a hammer and banged on the starter, and it turned over without the jumper cables turned over. So I went and said, I thought, I'm going to go get the jumper cable. I fixed it. We went and got the jumper cables and went click, click. So he went back. I said, thanks. I said, I'll get a starter tomorrow probably. And anyhow, I was watching the news. It was about 5:30 or so. The doorbell rang. Nobody comes to our door. The doorbell rang, and I went, Kath answered the door, and it's my neighbor. And he says, you know, I'm not doing anything tomorrow. He's got a ton of projects. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I can go to Lordco and buy a starter and fix your truck for you, because Kathy, you'll need it for Wednesday. Well, no, that's okay. You know what we're like, right? No, that's good. I can do it myself. You know, I got a zillion things on my plate, but I'll juggle another ball. No, he says, really, 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 I can do it. He went to Lordco on Tuesday morning, got a starter, got a discount on the starter because he had an account, got a starter, minus 10 or 12 degrees out. He's underneath my truck, taking my old starter out and putting the new starter in. When I got home for lunch, he was just finishing up. We turned the key over and it started. But that's showing mercy. See, he saw the situation I was in, and he didn't say, oh, that's nice, I'll go and pray for you. He saw and he acted. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Being merciful is feeling sorry for the state of others and doing all we can to relieve their suffering. It's treating others in the same manner in which God treated us. How did God treat us? He saw that we were in a mess, we were in a sinful state, and our lives were falling apart. And there was no way that we could make it by the law to him. We couldn't do what was right. We couldn't keep the law. So he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for us, for our sins. He saw the state we were in, and Jesus did all he could do, all that was possible to make us right with our Heavenly Father. Being merciful is allowing God's character to flow in us and through us to those we have contact with in our lives. As we experience true mercy from God, we are blessed, truly happy, and His mercy flows from us out to others. Are we allowing mercy in so mercy will come out? We don't want garbage in, garbage out. We want God's love, God's grace, God's mercy in. So God's mercy will come out to those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now and say, we need you. Because our natural tendency for most of us is not to show mercy. Maybe mercy once in a while. Maybe a little bit of mercy. But God, we want to be like you. You said we're made in your character, so we want to be rich in mercy. So the mercy of you will flow in us and through us, will never cease. It will be new every morning and continue throughout the day. Father, may we be merciful people. So our community will be changed. They will know you. It will be filled with mercy. God, have your way. Let your kingdom come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.